So we're on Chof Tesamid Aleph. Let's just review. We have a Brisa. The Brisa speaks about Chomet Shel Hegdesh. Let's say you have Lachmi Toda or certain menachas, and the chametz, they're also hegdesh. So we have now an overlap of two violations. Number one, mi'ilah, if he eats it, and number two, achilas chametz. Now we're talking during Yontif. So everybody agrees, even Rav Shimon, that the isra achil of chametz generates karis. So the Brisa presents a machlokas. The first day it says ma'al, and yesh omrim lo ma'al. So initially the Gemara understands that the machlokas here, whether ma'al or lo ma'al, depends upon Rav Nechunya ben Akana. In the Masechta Ksubos, in the third parak, Elinaris, and a large chunk of that parak is dedicated to Kim Levi the Rav Aminei, Rav Nechunya ben Akana holds that it makes no difference whether the onesh is a chiyuv bidei adam or a chiyuv bidei shamayim. Even in the case of kares, we apply the principle of kim levi the rabbi minei. And therefore, Rav Nechunya ben Akana equates Yom HaKippurim with Shabbos. Just like if I... Let's say if Reuven burns down Shimon's Gadish on Shabbos, he's potur, because Shabbos is a chiyuv skila. That's already an onesh bidei adam. Nobody argues that's kimlei raminei. Even if Reuven burns down Shimon's Gadish on Yom Kippur, which is only an onesh bidei shamayim, it's only kares, nevertheless, Rav Nechunya ben Akana applies the principle of Kim Levi the Rabinei, and he's potur min hatashlum. In other words, even if the onesh is bidei shamayim, kares, we still apply Kim Levi Rabinei. Now, getting back to chometz shel hegdesh, since by eating chometz he incurs a chiyuv kares, according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, that chiyuv kares exempts him from tashlumei mama, which is ma. So he's not chayv mishum me'ila. So he's potter now, and that's the second day in the Brisa Lomar, from all the chiyuvim of me'ila. Okay. So that's called kim lebe the rabbinah, that's Lomar. The Tanakhama says Mo'al rejects Rav Nechunya ben Akana and holds that Kim Levi Rabinei only applies when there's a chiyuv onesh bidei adam. But it does not apply to kares, neither on Yom Kippur nor on chametz bePesach. Therefore, ha'ochel chametz shel hegdesh bePesach, which is an onesh kares, he's chayv mishum me'ila because there's no Kim Levi Rabinei. That's what we saw yesterday. Now, the last thing we touched on yesterday, which I want to go over today, is the alternative pshat. Another approach to explain the machlokas between the Tanakhama, who says ma'al, and the Yesh Omrim lo ma'al. And this is going to be the sugya of Rav Yosef. So let's just first find Rav Yosef, make sure we're all on the same page. We're going to count up from the bottom of Chof Tes Amid Aleph, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up. And this is the last thing that we saw yesterday. So just by way of introduction...
What?
Good, Don. Just came in for our introduction. Perfect, perfect time.
Try and find your seat.
Yes, okay.
Wow.
All right. So by way of introduction, it goes like this. We mentioned that there's a kedusha called kedusha saguf, which means that if you designate an animal for the mizbeach, then that animal gets Kiddush Saguf, which doesn't lend itself to pidyon, unless it becomes a Baal Mum. So if the animal has a blemish, and it's now disqualified from his bath, you could be Poder, you can actually transfer the Kiddush of the animal over to Domim, over to money. However, it's not what you call Afka Gemura, it's not a complete removal of the Hegdesh, there's still a vestige of Hegdesh, of Kedusha in the animal. And that's called an Isur Gizov Avoda. So even after you pode a Balas Mum, a carbon that's a Bal Mum, nevertheless, it still remains Osur Begizov Avoda. Okay.
Which means what again?
That you're not allowed to take the shearings off the wool off the back of the of the sheep. And you're not allowed to ride the animal, let's say, or work the animal as, you know, to plow your field. And even the chelev is osur ba'ano. Okay, now all this is derived from a pasuk in Dvarim Perek Yud Beis with regard to pidyon of a karbon when it's a bal mum. The Torah says, tizbach v'achalta basar. So the Gemara at the end of Tvurah says that as a result of the pidyon tizbach, you can shech the animal and you can eat its meat. But its giza, the shearings, that you're not allowed to enjoy. And also the chelev, you're not allowed to enjoy. Now we have machlokes tanoim. How far do we go with this isur? One mandiomer says that this Isur includes even what's called Podeh Almenas La'achilo Lekloven, which means I effectuate a pidyon on this Baal Mum, and not only can I eat the animal, which the Torah says explicitly Tizbach V'Yachalto Basar, but I can even feed the animal to, let's say, to a dog. That's one mandiomer. That's called, I'm not allowed to feed it to the dog. That's called Ein Podim es hakodshim l'achilam l'klovim. Okay? Now, this Isur of being poded in order to take the animal and feed it to a dog is an expression of the fact that kodshim in general, if they're not royal achilas adam, like let's say for example you have an animal that became a trefa, it had an injury to its one of its vital organs, then you're allowed to feed it to a dog, but you're not allowed to be poda for the purpose of feeding it to the dog. Okay, now if you hold ein podim es hakodshim l'achilam l'klovim, then what do you do with the case of the situation of chametz shel hegdesh on Pesach? Would it be me'ila or not? If you hold podim es hakodshim l'achilam l'klovim, then you could be poda the chametz. And after the pidyon, you can take that chametz, which was hegdesh, and you can feed it to a dog. So that means that the chametz has a certain value to it. If on the other hand you hold ein podim es hakodshim l'achilam l'klovim, then you cannot be poda the chametz. You can't eat it because it's Pesach, but you can't even be poda it and remove the isur kodesh. So again, as we said before, when you have chametz shel hegdesh, you have an overlap of two different isurim. There's the isur me'ilu insofar as it's hegdesh, the isur chametz, because of chametz b'pesach. Can I at least whittle it down from two isurim to one isur by effectuating a pidyon, that the pidyon should at least remove the status of hegdesh from this chametz? Now if he violates isur chametz, it's chayav mishum chametz, that's undeniable, but he's not chayav mishum hegdesh. There's no me'ila. Why? Because the pidyon removes the Me'ilah, the Hegdish. But the only problem is that Pidyon only applies if I can do something with the money after I'm Poder. In this case, what am I going to do with this money after I'm Poder? No, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Pidyon only applies if I can do something with this. I still don't have it. Just one second. I want to say this clearly so I understand it. And then if I understand, there's a chance that you'll understand it. Okay. What I mean to say is the following. How do I remove the Isur Me'ilah? What I'm going to say is that... now I have it. Okay. How do I remove the Isur Me'ilah? Me'ilah means stealing from Hegdish. In order to meet up to the standards of stealing from Hegdish, you have to assume that the Hegdish has a value to it. Now, what value does Hegdish have if it's Chomesh B'Pesach? What value does it have? I mean, Chomesh B'Pesach is also. It's also B'Achil, also B'Anah. You can't do anything with it. So l'chora, there should be no Me'ilah. Because Me'ilah means stealing something of value from Hegdish. Unless I can get something out of this Chomesh. What could I get out of this Chomesh? I could be Poda the Chomesh. And then I can use the Chomesh for whatever I want.
Podeh,
lifdot. So let's see the Gemara inside. Is there a possibility of being Podeh? Rav Yosef says the Tanoim who argue about Ochel Chomet Shal Hegdish B'Pesach, whether you're Chayv Mishum Me'ilah or not, they argue about Podeh Mesakodshim L'Achilon L'Klovim. Are you allowed to be Podeh, an animal of Kodesh, which is a Balmum, in order to feed the animal to a Kelev? Is Mandi Omer Mal Kosovar Podeh Mesakodshim L'Achilon L'Klovim? If you allow Pidyon, so then I can be poda kodshim and feed the animal, and therefore in Chomets of Hegdesh, even though I can't eat it on Pesach, but I can feed it to my dog. How can I feed it to my dog? By being poda it. Why? Because I'm holding now poda mesakodshim l'achilam l'klovim.
Poda means consecrating.
Poda means to redeem.
Oh, to redeem.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mention that.
No, you probably did.
Pidyon is the noun, right. And podim is the verb.
Podim, that's why.
Podim. It should be with a mem, but in Aramaic it's with a nun.
That's why I asked you, because I was hearing podeh, but I see in the text it says podim, that's why I was asking that.
Right. Podeh is in singular, and podim is in plural. And pidyon is the noun.
Avanti.
Podeh is the verb in singular, and podim. is the verb in plural.
Okay.
So sometimes when the Gemara wants to know whether you're allowed to do something, it'll use the plural because we're addressing everybody. Right. So he's saying, Podim, you're allowed to redeem Kodesh and take that Kodesh and feed it to a dog. Right. So if you Podim the Hegdesh, of Chomech al Hegdesh, then after the Pidyon, after you redeem it, you can take this chomitz and feed it to your dog. If that be the case, then the chomitz has a certain value to it because I can feed it to my animal. You know, what's it worth as animal food? Maybe it's not worth the same value as you can feed it to a human being, but it does have a value. And therefore, you're stealing hegdesh when you eat up this chomitz because this chomitz has value to it. But that's only if you assume podim esakodshim l'achilon l'klovim. Umandiyam alomal, you're not stealing anything from Hegdesh, because somebody holds ain podim, mean you're not allowed to be podim kodesh lachil leklovim. Therefore, the chomets of Hegdesh on Pesach is not fit for any use whatsoever. It has the status of Hegdesh, and if you eat it, you're not causing any loss to Hegdesh because it's valueless. Why is it valueless? Because there's nothing you can do with it. Even if you poda it, you won't be able to feed it to a dog. is memeli a potter from me'ila. Okay. Now at this point, the Gemara is going to bring another explanation for ochel chametz shel hekdesh bePesach, whether there is mila or not. Now, just by way of introduction to this possibility, this is going to be the third possible explanation. So again, the first explanation was they're arguing about Me'ilah because of Kimle the Rabinei. And is the Kimle the Rabinei when you violate an Isur Kares? The second machlokus is whether or not this is considered Me'ilah because does the Chometz have any value? Can you be poded and feed it to your dog? The third explanation is going to be based on something called Dovar Agorim Lemamon. Now, what does Dovar Agorim Lemamon mean? Which you'll see here in the Gemara, so I don't have to write it on the board. Okay? Dovar Agorim Lemamon. Dovar Agorim Lemamon means if I have something which.
Where is it again?
You'll see it in the Gemara here on the top of Chavtes Amin Beis. If you want to just underline, again, I don't know, do you have the possibility of underlining?
Yeah,
you do. So on the third line from the top, you'll see the words Dovar Agorim, and on the fourth line, Kim Mamon. Lim Mamon. Okay? So those are the three words I would have written up on the board. Now, what does this mean? Let's say you have something that has no value to it, but paradoxically, if it gets lost, you're going to have to replace it. So right now, in its present state, It's not something that you can claim ownership on because it's valueless, but it does represent value to you because in event that it's lost, you're gonna have to replace it. And again, that sounds very abstract, but we'll try to flesh it out. So this is the last line on Daf Chav Tesam and Aleph of Achava Rava Tunnelay. He explains it in a different way. Lahashmait, it does on the top of Chav Tesam and Beis. Mishmeder Rav Yosef. He has a tradition in the name of Rav Yosef in a different way. Behol Lishna. This is the version that he received in the name of Rav Yosef. The Kuli Alma, all the issues that we raised until now are not a subject of controversy. There's no issue whatsoever. For example, everybody agrees ein podim esakodshim lachilun leklovim, that there's no use you can get out of this chametz on Pesach. You can't even be poda it and redeem it in order to feed that chametz to a dog. Now, if we hold that you can't get any benefit out of it, then you don't own it, and it's not subject to me'ilah. There's no gzela, there's no stealing over here. So what is the subject of the machlokas? V'hacha b'hacha mithi. In this case, this is the subject of the machlokas. B'davar agorim l'momen k'momen dami. Something that's valueless, but it's goring l'momen. Goring l'momen means it causes you money. I mean, it's worth it for you, because if it's lost, you're going to have to replace it. Mandi Omar, according to the Tanu, says that ochel chametz shel hekdesh mal kasav dover gom l'momen k'momen dami. This chametz shel hekdesh is valuable, and why? Because what's going to happen is if after Pesach, when it becomes mutar be achila, then it could be poded. But now he can't be poded because right this minute he doesn't get any benefit from being poded, so it's valueless. However, after Pesach, he's going to be allowed to eat this chametz because it belongs to Hekdesh, and he can be poded after Pesach in order to eat it. And therefore, Hekdesh has something of value. It doesn't have something of value now, because now over Pesach, there's no way you can enjoy the benefit of this chametz, and you can't even be poded. But after Pesach, it's going to be valuable. And therefore, it's a goreim l'momen. It's something that down the line, in the future, I can enjoy. Mandiyom alomol, according to another Ma'adi Yomar, we don't look at the future, we look at the present, because that right now it has no value, there's nothing you can do with it, no benefit you can get from it, and even though in the future he can get benefit from it after Pesach, he can be poded, nevertheless it's not considered Mama because we look at the present. And therefore there's no Me'ila, you're not stealing anything from Hegdash. Now the Gemara offers yet another explanation to this machlokus about ha'okel chametz shel hegdish b'pesach, whether he's mol or no. Rav Achbar Yaakov Omar, the kuli alma, everybody agrees, dover gom l'mamon kim mamon dami, that the fact that in the future will be worth something means it's worth something now, and therefore everyone should agree l'chora that it is me'ila. But hacha, but what's the machlokus? It's been plugged to Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon kam miflegim. The machlokus is basically between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and that's the machlokus about chometz she'ovel of a Pesach. As we're saying, it's a gorim l'mamon because after Pesach, I can enjoy this chometz, I can eat the chometz, or I can be pulled to the chometz. However, that's only true if you're all like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that there is no iser of chometz she'ovel of a Pesach. But Mandi Amalom Mal Kereb Yehuda, you can't tell me that it's worth anything because of tomorrow, meaning after Pesach, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that Chomet Shavol of a Pesach is Asur. So therefore, this Chomet is not Mamon. It's not even Mamon based on the future, and therefore there's no Meila. Mandi Amalom Mal Kereb Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds that Chomet Shavol of a Pesach is Mutter. And therefore, this chametz of Hegdesh, after Pesach, you could be poded, and you could eat the chametz. So it has value to it, not now, but in the future. And that's called Dover HaGorim L'Momen K'Momen Dom. Now, there's something very strange going on over here. This Rav Acha Bar Yaakov that we're presenting now is the same Rav Acha Bar Yaakov who before told us that Chomet Shavuot and Pesach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only applies if it's owned by a Yisrael. Here, who owns the Chomets? Hegdesh. If it's owned by Hegdesh, then it comes under the halach of Lecha, Iyatara, Avalatara, Shal Acherim, Shal Gavah. Shal Gavah means Hegdesh. Which means that if Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says that there is an equation between Achila and Shehiya, right, that just like Re'iyah we'll call it, just like you're not allowed to have chametz in your possession, you're not allowed to eat the chametz, that's subject to violating Re'iyah, v'lo yiro l'cha. Well, that doesn't apply to this case because this is chametz shel hegdesh. So that's what the Gemara is going to ask now. The Har of Achbar Yaakov Hudi Omar, he's the one who says the Rabbi Yehuda Yolif Si'or da Achila Misi'or da Re'iyah, that Rabbi Yehuda has this Gzeirah Shavah equating Achila with Re'iyah, which means that the Iser of Chomet Shalva Pesach only applies to Chomet which is subject to Bal Yerah Bal Yimotzeh, means it was owned by Israel. But if the Chomet was owned by a guy, or coming close to the hour, so he was owned by Hegdesh, there was no Si'ar de Re'iyah. And if there's no Si'ar de Re'iyah, then there's no Si'ar de Achila. And therefore, certainly according to Rabbi Yehuda, there would be Me'ila here. How could Rabbi Shimon, how could Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov claim that when the Tanakhama, this Brisa, says that there's no Mo'al, that Tanakhama is Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that there's no Heter regarding this Chometz, and even after Pesach he can't be poded and eat it, because Rabbi Yehuda has the Iser of Lav of Chometz Shavuot and Pesach. In this case it was owned by Hegdesh. And if it was owned by Hegdesh, there's no Iser Lav of Chomet Shalva v'Pesach. And therefore the Gemara says, Hadar Bey Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Me'ahi. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov rescinded his original position, changed his mind. Originally, he was of the opinion that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chomet Shal Hegdesh is Mutter, because it doesn't lend itself to Si'ar. And he accepts the equation between Si'ar, Dere'iyah, and Sa'ar, De'achila. Now, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov has a different position, and he holds that all Chomet Shavuot and Pesach, even if it's not included in Si'ar Dere'iyah, there's no Bayro Bayimatze, because it's owned by a guy or it's owned by Hegdish, even that Chametz is Asur Li'achara Pesach. All Chametz Sha'ar Olav Pesach is Asur.
So the difference between the second explanation and this fourth is the second one, the Chametz could have value during Pesach, and this one says it only has value after Pesach.
When you say the second, I just want to make sure that
they could do
the Rav Yosef podim. About podim.
Yeah. So they're talking about that it could have value during Pesach.
Right.
And this one is saying it can't have value during Pesach, but it have value after Pesach.
Right. Because now he's saying that Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that ain podim is hakadoshim lachim u'mikloven. But nevertheless, after Pesach, it's mutter. And if you're holding Rav Shimon that Chometz Lachar HaPesach is mutter, then it has value now, even if I can't be pulled it now, because Dovr HaGorim L'Momen K'Momen Domi. So even though everybody agrees that Dovr HaGorim L'Momen K'Momen Domi, and for that matter everybody could agree that Ein Podim Es HaKodshim L'Achilim L'Kovim, but nevertheless Lomal is based on the fact, I'm sorry, Mal, that's the Tanakh, is based on the fact that there's no Isur of Chometz Shalom HaPesach, and then I can anticipate after Pesach being poed to the Chometz. Rav Ashi Omar, and now the Gemara gives another explanation for Ochel Chometz Shel Hegdesh BePesach. The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees, Ein Podim Es HaKodshim Al Menas Lachilim LeKlovim. So therefore, there's no value to this Chometz on Pesach. It's not Roy to anything. I mean, you can't sell it to a guy, you can't be poed to it. And there's no ownership here based on the fact that after Pesach you could be poded. The machlokas here is whether chametz on Pesach is mutar banor or asur banor. According to Rav Yosi Aglili, chametz on Pesach is mutar banor, and therefore it has value. And if it has value, then you violate Me'ilah, because you're stealing from Hegdesh something of value. Man di'omar mal k'rab Yosi. Man di'omar lo mal k'rab Bonon. If you hold like the Rabbanon, who disagree and reject Rav Yosi Aglili, they maintain the Chometz is also ba'ano. So then if you hold Dover al-Gorim l'omar lav k'mom and domi, and if you hold Ein Podim es HaKodshim l'achil l'klovim, therefore this Chometz is not worth anything. And there's no gzela, there's no me'ila. So at this point in the presentation of Rav Ashi, we're really not entering into the battleground, so to speak, of Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. In other words, the issue about me'ila or lo me'ila in Chomet Shal Hegdesh Ochlo B'Pesach, whether there's me'ila or not, has nothing to do with Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. We can certainly agree that Chometz BePesach, even according to Rav Shimon, is Asur, and therefore it should be valueless. And the fact that we can anticipate what's going on after Pesach is totally irrelevant, because Dovr HaGorim L'Momen Lav K'Momen Domi. And if you'll tell me, let's be poser the Chometz, and that would give us the ability to take that Chometz after pigeon and feed it to a dog, where we're holding now, according to everyone, Ein Podim Es HaKodshim L'Achilon L'Klovim. So if that be the case, what moment do we have here? Now, says Rav Ashi, out of desperation, we're going to introduce a totally different machlokas into the equation. And that's Rav Yosef Gli and Rabbanon. Is Chometz Mutar Bano or is Chometz Asur Bano?
Can I ask the world question?
Yeah, sure.
Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, were they real people, or are they just...
I think they were alive and well.
Are they just being used as foils in the discussion to present two different points of view?
Not, as far as I know, that this is whenever you see a Gemara that quotes a statement in the name of someone, that,
they were real people.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Now we start a brand new sugya, and this is the din of Taros. What is the din of tarovs? You have a mixture of iser v'heter, and you cannot differentiate between the iser and the heter. Now, this can apply in many different permutations. You can have, for example, something that's called lach belach, two liquids that got mixed in together. Okay, then you could have something called min bimino. Let's say, for example, you have two types of meat. You have meat that's not kosher and meat that is kosher. Min bimino means they're both the same, they both taste the same, and they got mixed up, and now I can't differentiate between the two. And again, that's a case of yovish biyovish, two solid substances, but you could imagine liquids as well. I mean, basar nevela has a liquid, and basar kosher also has a liquid. The two liquids got mixed up together. Or, for example, another case of lach balach would be yayin biyayin. You have yayin, which is avodah zarah, that gets mixed up with yayin that's heter, that's kosher. So that are two liquids that got mixed up together with each other. That's called lach balach. And then you could have yovish biyovish, like the case of basar nevela and basar shchuta. And they, if they get cooked together, that becomes min bimino bitaroves. But again, it's min bimino bitaroves of liquids once you cook it together. That's already a little bit different. Now, what is the halakha of bittul? Bittul tells me that we look at the majority. Although there's a minority of isur that got mixed up in this mixture, in this tarovus, nevertheless, the majority is heter. And the Torah says, in Shmos Perek Chav Gimel, the Torah says, Achrei Ravim Lahatos, that we use what's called Ravim. Ravim means the majority. And the miut, the minority, is batel berov. It loses its identity in this mixture because it's a miut. And the Torah says, you should determine the halacha based on rov achrei ravim lahatos. So let's take a classical case of bittul berov. What we have here is yovesh biyovesh. We have two dry substances. One is isur and the other is heter. For example, let's give the case of chametz. Again, in our contemporary life, you can tell easily the difference between a piece of bread and matzah. But back in the day, they had certain matzahs that looked very similar to chametz. That's sort of the whole sugya that we had about the, you know, you saw the weasel going in and you don't know if it was carrying chametz or matzah. Matzah and chametz are yavish be yavish, but they're indistinguishable. So let's say I knew I had two pieces of matzah, and I know that a piece of chametz, a piece of bread, fell into this mixture. So there's one piece of chametz and two pieces of matzah. I don't know which is the matzah, which is the chametz. So that would be a case of achrei ravim lahatos. Since you have two pieces of matzah and only one piece of chametz, therefore the chametz is batel berov. Then we have a mixture called lach balach, which means that there's cooking going on over here. So something of Isur falls into a cooking pot of heter. And that's called lach balach. Lach balach means a liquid mixture. Once there's cooking going on and there's water in the pot, it's considered lach balach. Now, in the case of lach balach, we have to differentiate between two categories. So if you're creating a flow chart here, on one side of your chart you'll have yovish biyovish, and that's called rov. That's where rov is enough for bittul. The other side of your chart is going to say lach balach. Now, when you're on the other side of the chart of lach balach, and you're out of the rov mode, in other words, majority is not going to work here, then you split into two. You know how a flow chart works, right? You could have one case here, one case here, and the one case here has two subcategories. So the two subcategories of lach balach are called the following: min bimino and min b'she'eno mino. So, for example, wine, kosher wine with non-kosher wine, they got mixed up. That would be lach balach min bimino. Min bimino means they're identical. There's no difference between this wine and the other wine. It's just that this wine was used for idol worship and this one wine was not.
They just look alike or taste alike? Everything?
Taste alike, look alike, everything's the same. Again, I'm oversimplifying the laws, but That's enough for our introduction. Okay,
and
now...
And the other one is lo
min. The other one is min b'she'eno mino. That's what it's called. Min b'she'eno mino. So min b'she'eno mino would be a case where I cooked together in one pot two different types of substances. Let's say, for example, non-kosher meat would fall into a pot of vegetables. So that means the meat is one min and the vegetables is another min. They taste different, they look different.
It's just not a liquid and a solid. It's anything, two different things.
Okay, two different things. Everything is lach balach. Again, we finish with yavish biyavish. Yavish biyavish, two different solid substitutes, rov. The halach and bittul is rov.
Ah, solids is rov.
Rov. I forgot to tell you that. I thought I did, but...
You might have.
Right, so again, one piece of chametz falls into two pieces of matzah, everything's dry, you didn't cook anything, roh, bit of a roh. Now we're in lach balach. What's the din of bittul in lach balach? So lach balach splits. There's min b'mino, let's say yayin b'yayin, and then there's min b'sheno min b'osom b'yirokos. Meat into yirokos.
Min b'mino, is it only yayin v'yayin?
No, I'm just giving you an example.
But could it, just so I get it in my head.
Right.
Could it be yayin and soda pop, let's say? Or,
no, that no. Might be min b'sheno min, because they have two different times.
But
what I meant to say that it's lav daf yayin v'yayin, you can have... You can have, let's say...
Grape juice and wine.
I'm not getting into that issue, but what I mean to say is that you can take a long list of Isurim,
right,
and you can, in each case, come up with something called Lach. And then you can take a long list of Heter and call it Lach. I use the case of Yayin Shel Yayin Nesach of Avodah Zorah.
Lach means what?
Lach means liquid. So again, if it's lach balach and it's min b'mino, that's a real serious problem. Why? Because there's one man d'yomer who says, that's from Yehuda Shita, we'll get to that, that min b'mino in the case of lach balach is never bottle. Never bottle. Because the two liquids become like one entity, and there's Iser in that one entity. You can never say bittul means, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there's a conflict. You know, there's a tug of war, and there are two substances. Each one has its own identity. But in the case of lach balach min b'mino, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not two substances, each one with its own identity. It's really one. No, all the wine here is one wine, so there's no room for bittul. Bittul always requires that you have heter against iser, two separate substances. That's in the case of min b'mino. Now we get to the case of min b'she'eno mino, and that was the case that we gave where meat, let's say non-kosher meat, falls into a cooking pot of vegetables. So here we have a din of shishim. Shishim means 60. The din of rov doesn't apply. It's not like min b'mino according to Rabbi Yehuda where there's no bittul. There is bittul, but not the bittul of rov, but the bittul of shishim. So if the volume of vegetables is 60 times the volume of the meat, so you have this gigantic pot of meat and a very small piece of non-kosher, I'm sorry, you have this gigantic pot of vegetables, legumes, fruit, whatever's cooking in the pot, so it's like filled up to the top, massive volume. And now a small amount of non-kosher meat would fall in, then it would be batel b'shishim, because the ratio between the volume of isur and the volume of heter is 1 to 60. Or if it's 1 to 61, 1 to 70, 1 to 80, 1 to 90. In other words, it's always, it never climbs above 1 to 60. Okay. That's the introduction. Okay. Now, there's one Gemara that I have to mention to you before we go on. That's the Gemara in Avodah Zorah. A lot of the laws of bittul are in Masechta Avodah Zorah. And the Mishnah says that if Yayin Nesach that was used for Avodah Zarah gets mixed up in other Yayin, it says there, Zaklal, Min Bimino, Bimashahu. Which means that even if the smallest amount of Yayin Nesach falls into a large, large container or vat of Yayin Shalheta, kosher wine, it's Aser. Everything is Aser. Mashu means the smallest amount. So it's 1 to 1,000. It would still be Aser. Why? Because it's all Min Bimino. As we said before, Min Bimino makes it into one entity and it's not subject to Bittul.
We said that earlier, recently, about Truma falling into Chulin.
Truma that falls into Chulin.
You said also there was a Bittul in 1,000.
Is that because that might be because of Davar Sheishal Matirim, because you could be Mafrish, or maybe because it's mutter to
right.
Yeah, other reasons. Yeah, I don't know if that has to do with Min Bimino. Oh, Shalom Bimino. So let's say this Yayin Nesach falls into a pot that's cooking all sorts of things inside of it. Bino Saint Tam. Means the Yayin will only prohibit this taroves if the tam of the Yayin is felt in this mixture. Now, on that Mishnah, which I just quoted to you, again, Zaklal, Min Bimino Bimashu, Shalom Bimino Bino Saint Tam, we have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel on the one hand and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on the other hand. How to understand that mission? According to Rav and Shmuel,
in Avodah Zarah,
Rav and Shmuel hold that since it says Zaklal, it's coming to tell you that this principle applies to all Isurim, not only to Avodah Zarah. That's called Zaklal. It means that with regard to all Isurim, if it's Mino, meaning Min Bimino, then the Tarovus is Osir even Bimashu, no matter what the ratio is. And Shalom Bimino is Bino Saint Tam. That's according to Rav and Shmuel. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Zaklal comes to tell me that Tevel has the same din as Yayin Nesach. And therefore, in both cases of Tevel and Yayin Nesach, Min Bimino is Bimashu. However, with regard to all other Isurim, Min Bimino is Batel B'Shishim. So I told you before that Min Bimino, there is no Bittul because it becomes one entity. Well, that's true but not true. What do I mean? According to Rav and Shmuel, that's absolutely true. According to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, it's only true in two cases, and that's Tevel and Yayin Nesach. As far as all other cases, when there's a mixture of Min Bimino, then we apply the din of Shishim, just like we do in the case of Min B'Sheino Min. So according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, there really, in our flowchart, there's really very little difference between Min Bimino and Min B'Sheino Min. The general rule that applies straight across the board, with two minor exceptions. Minor, I mean, it's not, you know, it doesn't take up most of the gamut of and the constellation of Isurim. But barring those two exceptions, which I'll mention in a minute, there's always a din of Bittul B'Shishim. So then, according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, with regard to 90% of Isurim, we really have the following distinction: there's Yavesh B'Yavesh, is Bittul B'Rov. And all other cases of lach v'lach are batul b'shisha. The only two exceptions to that rule are yayin nesach and tevel. Tevel means before I take off the truma, it's called tevel. In those two cases, min b'mino is also b'mashu. That's according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. According to Rav and Shmuel, we have a basic distinction between Min Bimino and Min B'Sheino Mino. When I'm talking about Lach B'Lach, that in Min Bimino, It's in all Isurim, it's Asur B'Mash. There's no possibility of Bittul. Only in Min B'She'eino Mino is there a possibility of Bittul. Alright, so having said that, we can begin to learn our sugya. Amar Rav, let's just make sure we all have the place. You'll see on Chav Tes Amid Beis, smack in the middle of the page, Amar Rav, after the two dots, the first word in the line is Mal. And it's right below the Tosis Dibra Maskel Rav Ashi. Amar Rav, Chametz that fell into a mixture. Bizmano. In other words, it's on Pesach. Bein bimino, ubein shalo bimino, osur. Whether the chametz got mixed up with matzah, which is called min bimino, or it got mixed up with vegetables, which is called min b'she'eino mino, it's not butter, and it's osur. Now, if Rav would have said that bimino, it's osur b'mashahu, and there's no bittul, then I would have understood it, because that would be Rav l'shitoso, because Rav in Masechta Avodah Zarah holds that min bimino is not butter. Is not butter. And that applies not only to Yayin Nesach, but to all Isurim. So it's assumably, presumably would apply to Chometz as well. The only problem is, are we talking about Yavish B'Yavish or Lach B'Lach? Let's assume just for the moment, for argument's sake, that we're talking about Lach B'Lach, meaning that this Chometz fell into a pot. And what's inside the pot is matzah. Or there's vegetables. If there's matzah, that's called min b'mino. If it's min b'she'eino mino, it's vegetables. And Rav is saying that even in the case of min b'she'eino mino, there's no bittul. That undermines everything that we know about the laws of bittul. Because you can tell me that there's no bittul in min b'mino, but now he's talking about min b'she'eino mino. And he says, Bizmano, this is going on Pesach, why shouldn't there be a din of Bittul? Then he says, Shalom Bizmano, if the mixture took place after Pesach, so then Bimino, Asur, Shalom Bimino, Mutter. I'm going to allow for Bittul if it's Min B'Sheino Mino. So if you have Chomish Avol of a Pesach, and it got mixed up with vegetables, then I'm going to rely on bittul. But if the mixture is chametz after the Pesach with other chametz that was baked after Pesach, that's called min bimino, then it's osur. Okay, so you know, I'll tell you the truth, Don. This kind of sugya, when you first learn it, it's a little bit tough. But after a while, you'll see, we go over it over and over, the rules become like second nature to you. So if it's brand new to you, it's, you know, I admit it's challenging, but you get used to it. So the Gemara says the following. B'may askinon, what is the case that Rav is talking about? Ilema b'no Saint Tom. If Rav is talking about a case where you taste the chametz in this taroves, then shalom bizmano, shalom bimino mutter hayoiv taima. After all, Rav does recognize bittul in the case of chametz she'avol av pesach that got mixed up with vegetables, and there he's going to apply the din of bittul. Well, how can you apply the din of bittul if there's a taste of chametz in this mixture? Let's give it to a chef, and the chef is going to taste this mixture. And he says, "Whoa, why did you put bread in this pot? You know, I taste the bread." So in that case, there's no bittul whatsoever. Or, for example, let's say you don't have whatchamacallit, a chef. So instead, you use shishim. So let's say we measured the vegetables and we measured the chametz, and the ratio between the two is 1 to 60. So then it's bata. So if it's, but if it's 1 to 59, then it's not Batel, because then we assume there's Tam. So if there's Tam, how could Rav say that Shalom Bimino is Mutter, it's Batel? Ela B'mashu. What does it mean, B'mashu? B'mashu means that it's less than 1 to 60, right? It's already Batel, there's no Tam. So that would explain why Rav holds that chametz after Pesach, if it got mixed up with vegetables, is mutter bebittel, because the ratio between the chametz and the vegetables is 1 to 60.
But are you saying that even if you can technically taste it, if you could measure it and it's less than 1 to 60?
That's a gewaltige question. What you just asked is one of the most profound questions in all of Taromis.
Okay.
In other words, if you were learning for Smicha, so one of the main, you know, one of the main branches of study is this sugya that we're learning here called Taromis, your question would be excellent. What happens if I have a ratio of 1 to 60 and then lo and behold, I taste the Issa? That's a major issue. But again, just to make life easy for ourselves, let's assume that if the ratio is 1 to 60, you're not going to taste it.
I'll tell you what, because we've learned, you know, where the reality is one thing, but the halakhic reality is something else. So why should this be any different?
I'll tell you why it's different, because here the whole purpose of Shishim is to be mevatel the tam, to get rid of the taste, and now you're saying the taste is still there. Yeah. You can actually taste it. Mm. It could be maybe that the Iser had a certain spicy or a certain sharp element to it. I don't know. So that would be a Dovah Charif. I don't know. Maybe the Dinim would have to change in that case. But fundamentally, your question is an excellent question. So the Gemara now goes on to explain Rav. According to what we've explained now, according to Rav, we're talking about a Mashu, which means that the ratio is less than 1 to 60. So the Gemara asks the following: is chametz bismano? Rav says that chametz that got mixed up during Pesach is bein bimino bein shelo bimino also. Why is that? I mean, if there's 60, it should be batel. And the Gemara answers: mishum. The reason is because Rav l'tamei. Rav is very consistent. The Rav Shmuel diamri travayu. This is the Rav and Shmuel that we spoke about from Avodah Zarah in our introduction. Kol Isur in Shabbat Torah. If you have a tarovus of any Isur in the Torah, bimino, it got mixed up. Min bimino is mashahu, is bimashu. Oh, but wait a second. Shalom bimino, bino Saint Tam. Is Rav Gozar chametz bismano shalom bimino atu mino. So again, how could Rav say that if the chametz gets mixed up in vegetables, then it's asur? How could that be? After all, that's called min b'sheino mino, and min b'sheino mino, even according to Rav, is batel if you have shishin. So why is it? So he says we institute gzera. We're afraid that he's going to make a confusion between shalom b'mino and mino. And he's going to come to the conclusion mistakenly that if you allow him to eat this mixture of potatoes and chametz, he's going to assume that you can eat a mixture of chametz and matzah. He doesn't realize that there's a fundamental difference between chametz that fell into vegetables and chametz that fell into matzah. Now, if chametz falls into matzah, that's already min bimino. And Rav says, together with Shmuel, that min bimino is bimashu, meaning it's not butter. We saw that in the Mishnah of Yayin Nesach, and Rav and Shmuel assume that since it said Zeh HaKlal, it came to include all Isurim, that just like in Yayin Nesach, there's no bittel. So too in all Isurim, in a case of min bimino, there's no bittel. So therefore, chametz into matzah is a real serious problem. Now, chametz into vegetables should not be such a serious problem if I can calculate shishim. But he's making a gzera of min b'she'eno minu atu min b'mino. Meaning, if you're going to allow him to rely on bittul and shishim in the case of min b'she'eno minu, then he's going to think in his mind that if chametz and matzah get mixed up in one tarobas, it's bottle, and I'm going to use shishim, and I don't realize that chametz and matzah is min b'mino. Now you can always ask, well, if that be the case, then according to Rav, there should never be a din of bittul, because every case of min b'sheino mino, we should always be worried that if we rely on bittul, he's going to confuse that with min b'mino. But the answer is that chametz is different. Why? Because chametz is an isur kares. So they were much more machmir in chametz, and they considered everything as if it was min b'mino, and they did away completely with the law of bittul. However, that's only in the case of a cooking situation, because that's called lach b'lach. When we go back to yovesh b'yovesh, so far I don't know. I mean, I would maintain at this point that here we do apply bittul, even in the case of chametz. We would apply bittul even in the case of chametz. And the reason for that is because what are you going to be afraid of? You're afraid of min b'mino. But that min b'mino is only a problem of lach. So in yovesh, I don't know if you have to cross all the bounds here. You don't say, well, if in lach it's a problem, then therefore we're going to have to worry about a gzera that you can't be matir bittul in yovesh because you'll confuse it with lach. That far we don't go. But within lach b'lach, if min b'mino in the case of chametz is also b'mashu, meaning even though you have shishim, then we're going to have to extend that and apply it even to the case of min b'she'eno mino, where really according to the strict letter of the law could be batal in shishim, but we're afraid that tomorrow he's going to confuse that with min b'mino.
And after Pesach, we don't worry about it because
it's no longer chametz.
Again,
right. Either you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that's only nisa lav and malchus, or you hold like Rabbi Shimon that the whole business of chametz shalom Pesach is only derabbanan because of knas. So he says the following: Rav gozar chametz bizmano shelo b'mino atu mino v'shelo bizmano bimino asur. Now, what does that mean? Shelo bizmano bimino asur. Now we have a problem because shelo bizmano is no longer chametz with an isur kares. So we should apply the standard uniform halachas of bittul, and it should be batel in the case of shelo bizmano. So why does he say shelo bizmano is what? Is only if it's min b'sheino mino is it batel? Right? Shelo bizmano, Rav said, is mino b'mino asur. Why is b'mino asur? So the Gemara introduces Rabbi Yehuda that Rav accepts the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that min b'mino is never batel. Or wait a minute. Or maybe the Gemara is saying something different. Min b'mino, right? Min b'mino is asur. Ki Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe he's referring to Rabbi Yehuda now in Mishnah that chametz shelo bizman is asur in a Torah, and therefore in the tarobas of mino it's not batel, because according to Rav, all Yisurim Shabbat Torah, min b'mino, are not batel. I see. So chametz shelo bizmano is now going to be judged and measured by the standards of all universal dinim of bittul and tarovis. According to Rav, in the case of min b'mino, there is no bittul. And since chametz shavuot of Pesach is also according to Rabbi Yehuda min haTorah, so therefore min b'mino is not batel. But v'shelo b'mino, it's going to be mutter. Why? Because even though we should have a gzera like we did in chametz b'mino, v'bizmano, and we should be afraid that if we allow for bittul in min b'she'eno mino, he's going to extend that mistakenly to min b'mino. That's only bismano. But shalom bismano, shalom b'mino atumino is kuli hai lo gazrino. What are we afraid of? That if it's shalom bismano, it doesn't have that unique iser kares. So what are we going to afraid of? That from min b'she'eno mino, he's going to jump to min b'mino bismano? Shalom bismano, shalom bismino, atumino. And I think atumino here, atumino bismano, is kule hai lo gazrina. Shenis arif chametz, shalom bismano, b'she'eno mino. So there was a mixture of chametz, shalom bismano, b'she'eno mino, v'eino no same time. Notice he has shishim. Lo gazru bo atu mino, kamo she gazru al chametz bismano, shekein shalom bismano, ein ha'isur chomer kolkach, v'ein bo kares, v'dino kamo kol isur shvat Torah, shalom gazru behem. So again, in the case of lach b'lach, Rav acknowledges, he accepts bittul in the case of min b'she'eno mino. That is where bittul operates in lach b'lach, and that's called bittul b'shishim. Rav doesn't deny that. In chametz, when there's an isur kares, he's going to suspend the din of bittul because of gzeira atu min b'mino. But chametz she'avar lav pesach, which is after pesach, and it's not a chiyuv kares, even though we hold like Rabbi Yehuda and it's also been a Torah. There we're going to apply the standards of Kol HaTorah Kula. We're going to say min b'mino is not batel, and min b'she'eno mino is batel. So that's the shita of Rav. So are we on board tomorrow? Sunday, you're not here. But on Sunday, I'm going to try to give an overview of Rav. Again, there are 3 points that you want to remember if you want to jot this down. Point number one is that there's a fundamental difference between chametz bismano and chametz shalom bismano. Chametz bismano is an isur kares, and therefore it's more chamur. Chametz shalom bismano is an isur lav, and it's to be judged by the standards of kol isurei Torah. That's point number one. Point number two, because of the special chumrah of chametz bismano, Rav is going to equate min b'shalom she'eno mino with min b'mino. Min b'mino, according to Rav, in all isurim is not batel. And in chametz, because of its chumrah, we're going to extend that din of min b'she'eno mino, and we're going to graft it onto min b'she'eno mino. Notice, min b'mino is not batel. That's true for all isurim, according to Rav. But min b'she'eno mino is batel b'shishim. That din of bittul we're going to suspend because of the chumrah of chametz, and we're going to be afraid that if we allow you to apply bittul min b'she'eno mino, you're going to apply bittul b'min b'mino. That's point number two. Then we get to chametz she'avar lav pesach, and that's basically a window through which we see the universal halachas of tarobas that apply to all isurim, because now it's no longer chametz with the chumrah of kares because it's after zmano. And then we're going to say min b'mino is eino bato, because that's Rav Shita Meseta Avodah Zarah, and min b'she'eno mino is bato b'shishim. Okay, then Rabosai, we'll stop here, and I'll wish you all a good Shabbos. Okay, then. Okay, great.